Well, I did like that video too, you know. You know, we may not all be evangelists, but we can, like he said in the video, this is an evangelism project, so we can get involved in that and be evangelists all around the world through toothpaste and toys and different things. So that's awesome. I'm glad we as a church can be part of it. Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We started our study last week. Can you click on that screen for me, please? There we go. If you just click on it, it should work, but it's not working. Don't tell me it's doing that again. Okay, I don't have too many slides today, so it doesn't matter. We started last week, we're talking about James, this guy who was the half-brother of Jesus, right? And how his life was changed by his half-brother, by this person, this man, Jesus, who we know as the Son of God. But if you can imagine growing up in this family now, and how did this affect James, and how he talks, and what he teaches, and the kinds of things that God, you know, directs him to share in this letter. You know, he started off the family, they didn't believe in Jesus. They grew up with him, they didn't believe in him. That's probably why they didn't believe in him, because they grew up with him. But, you know, I just wonder what it was like in that family. And as I talked about last time, what it was like in your family. What were the dynamics like in your family? And did Jesus have a place there somehow, some way? And even in the things that didn't seem so good, how did Jesus use those things to bring you to himself? James had this encounter with the risen Jesus, and he was changed. He was radically changed. And now, as it says there in verse 1, he calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's his servant. And he served Jesus the rest of his life, until he got to that place that his life was cut short by martyrdom. He gave his life for the cause of following Jesus Christ. But he was a servant. So today we're gonna look now, what's the first thing that James talks about? Now James is kind of one of these direct people, right? And he gets right into it. He doesn't waste any time. He says greetings, but then he gets right into it and starts punching away. The first thing he talks about is what? Is trials. The first thing he talks about. Don't you just love trials? James, trials. Greetings, trials. Trials and joy. Let's read verses 2 and 3. He says there, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What is he saying? Like, what in the world? Well, let's break it down, because there's a lot here. We're going to look at the words. We're going to look at what he's trying to say. You know, we've been doing this big study through the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and we looked at, you know, chapters all in one Sunday. Well, now we're going to look at verses, right? And words, because both are important. Both kinds of studies are important, where you get the big picture, and then also when you kind of focus in on some of the, you know, the finer details. So he says here, consider it pure joy. The New King James says, count it all joy. Kind of this accounting term, account it all joy, or consider it pure joy. What? Consider what pure joy? Consider it what all joy? Count it all joy what? What is he talking about? What does he say? You read it with me. What's it about? Trials. Trials. How do you and I look at trials? And I think God wants us to look at them differently. And believe me, I have not got this. This is something when I study this, I'm going like, whoa. You know, the world has a lot of different sayings, and one is, when life hands you a lemon, what do you do? well, you know, that's kind of the principle that he's saying here, sort of, right? But not really. Because it's much deeper than that, right? It's much deeper than that. He says, consider or count it pure joy, all joy. Literally, it means all and in everything, all of them, the whole of them. That's why the one translation says pure joy. It's like this all-encompassing thing. Consider it all joy. These trials. The New Living Translation puts it this way. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, do you think that way? Is that the norm? Is that like the default? Like, that's how I think. Well, trials are coming my way. It's great. This is an opportunity for great joy now. I can't wait. I'm going to be so joyful. What is our default? What do we do? Not another trial. We grumble. We complain. And not only that, but we quit. Or we want to, right? I've had enough. I'm not going to do this. I can't do this anymore. How many of you said that? Have said that? How many of you have thought that? I just can't do this anymore, God. I just no more. It's interesting. This is where he's going here with this thing about perseverance, about no, you can. You can. Notice he says, consider it or count it all joy, my brothers, whenever or when you face trials. He doesn't say if you face trials. I've heard it said, and you've probably heard it said too, you know, that you're either in a trial or you're in between trials. But trials are a part of this life. It's a part of living. These things that we face, these troubles, we'll talk about the different things that they are in a minute. But Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, tribulation, pressure. The word is pressure. You will have these kinds of trials come upon you. But he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. That's one you need to memorize. Acts 14:22, it says this, that Paul and Barnabas, they were going around place to place. They were doing their missionary work, and they were going around from place to place, and it says that they would strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. And this is what they said. They said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Whoever told you, well, you just believe in Jesus and everything's going to be easy from here on out. It's going to be a nice ride. I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. You're going to be wealthy, healthy, and wise. You might have those things. But Paul says through many hardships we're going to get there. Through a lot of trouble, through trials. This is part of our lives. This is part of what we face. Some versions say this, that you know, we would fall into these trials or temptations. And literally, the word means to fall into it as to be encompassed by it. So what it ends up is that we are in the trial. We are like in the middle of it, and we have to kind of face up to what it is that we are in the middle of. When you're in the middle of something, you can't just ignore it. You can't just pretend like it's not there and maybe it'll go away. We need to face up to it. So he's saying that here. Face these trials. We're in them. Doesn't matter how we got there. Now, this particular Greek word is used in two senses, and it's used in two senses in this very chapter. And the first sense is kind of this, somebody put it this way, holy trials or problems. which are sent by God and which test the reality of our faith. So there's these tests, and we call them trials. But some of your versions say temptations because it's the exact same word. Later in the chapter, we'll get to that later, it's these temptations which they come from within. And they lead to sin. But it's all kind of, God's using all of it. The stuff that comes from without that are part of this life, these trials, these things God sends or He allows in our lives. Or even the stuff within us, the trials that come from the very depths of who we are. He says that this is going to be a trial. It's going to be a proving to test or to prove our character, our faith, and our holiness. Trials and joy. Well, can we get to the joy part? I know you're thinking that. You're saying, you know, I know about trials. That's like, that's my life. It's who I am. And I don't want to be there. But notice he says here that there's trials of all different kinds. They're not all the same, and we don't all face the same trials. We all are very different. And God knows what we need. God knows what we can take, what you can take. And each one of us is different. We have these different problems and different things that happen in our lives. But these kinds of trials, they come in all different shapes and sizes, big and small. The suffering, frustration, perplexity, just naming a few. Sickness, persecution. What about sorrow? And you could go on to name a whole list of your own, right? What kind of trial are you facing? You know, some, you know, like I said, are just so huge. Like, how could you stand up? How could you survive this? And some are just tiny little trials. But they're still part of our lives, right? I mean, I've faced a lot of trials in my life, just, you know, and I've shared a lot of them, a bunch of them. Nothing to hide. It's just life. It's what they are. And you sometimes think, will they never end? Well, they will end someday. When we're face to face, right, to Jesus, with Jesus, face to face, we're going to see Him. A few days ago, you know, this is a small trial, right? I was working on a leaking sink, right? And you just can't get the thing out. Well, this is a trial for me. So what do you do? Oh, you just quit. Just quit and give up. Well, then you don't have a sink to use in your bathroom, right? Then what? Your wife is going to... So what do? You have to persevere. You have to keep going. I can't stop. Well, I got the saw out, and she wasn't real happy with the results of it, but I got it done, right? Or maybe you got trials with your computer. I got a computer that just wants to do this weird thing. Did I just give up? No, I need it. I need it. It's a tool. It's something I use. Count them all joy? I was just, you know, working on that sink, and I was so full of joy. It wasn't happening. So, James, why are you telling us all this stuff? And what is going on here? Well, what does he say here in verse 3? He said, because, which tells us how. How are you going to count it all joy? How are you going to count it all joy? What does he say? He says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The trials, in other words, these trials have a purpose in your life. And so for us to say, I'm facing this thing, God has a purpose in it somewhere. And He's going to do something in me through it. But I don't like it. And let me say this. I don't see that it's saying here we should have joy for our trials. But we should have joy in our trials, is what I think he's saying here. This word to know, there are different words for knowing in the Greek language. This particular one is knowledge by experience, ginosko. Knowledge by experience, that you learn to know. So the more you face trials, you learn to know that God is doing something. The longer you are a believer, the longer you walk with Him, and you don't freak out or panic every time you face some kind of trial. We kind of learn, right, that, hey, I made it before. God helped me through this before, and with God's help, I will make it again. Because, our faith, it kind of gets back to our faith. And this is what James is talking about here. Really, the heart of it is our faith and our trust in Him. And again, James didn't believe, and then he did believe. But he says that our faith has to be tested. Like, do you really believe? Do you really trust Him? And I've said this over and over again, that, he wants to know, will you trust me? Even in the middle of the trial that you're facing, will you trust me in this? I know about it. I have worked this thing out in your life to work some kind of purpose in your life. As I mentioned before, it's this idea of perseverance. It says here that it develops perseverance. Some translations say produces perseverance. Some versions call it patience, others steadfastness, others endurance. But it's this idea of going on, that these trials, that they produce this, they develop this within us, that we're going to persevere, we're going to keep going. One commentator said this, without problems, we would never develop perseverance. We wouldn't need to. In later on in James chapter 5, he talks about Job. And he says this, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance. We say Job's patience, but that's because of the old King James uses that word. But it's really his perseverance. And you have seen what the Lord finally brought about. We can read the whole book of Job, and I recommend it. It's all about trials, isn't it? Job facing trials of all different kinds. And they think and they believe that Job was the first book that was actually written. And it's about trials. James says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Warren Wiersbe said, God wants to produce patience and endurance and the ability to keep going when things are tough. The ability to keep going. We haven't even got to the joy part yet, have we? We're just at the perseverance part. This is what he wants to teach us. You know, these trials, that they work for us. They bring about this perseverance in our lives. I read about this guy named Charles Kettering. Does anybody know who Charles Kettering is? You might have heard his name in the Sloan Kettering Cancer Treatment Center, right? You've heard that name. Well, this guy, Charles Kettering, he was an inventor, he was an engineer, and we got engineers here. But he was a businessman. And this guy was pretty amazing. He had like 186 patents. That's a lot. Like, how many of you have one? Anyone? But he was the founder of this company, Delco, and he was the head of research at General Motors from 1920 to 1947. 27 years he was the head of research, right? And he invented all kinds of things, like the starter for, car engines, so you didn't have to get out there and crank the thing. He invented the starter. The lighting system for the engine, for the cars. He developed the improvements for the transmission so they could have different speeds, variable speeds. He worked with paint that it would dry quick. Four-wheel brakes, safety glass, and Freon. You know what Freon is. That's your AC stuff, right? That's quite a list. This guy was amazing, right? But I say all that because this is what he said. Listen to this. Problems are the price of progress. Don't bring me anything but problems. Good news weakens me. Is that amazing? Problems are the price of progress. So these trials that you and I face, they're the price of perseverance, the progress that we face in our lives of getting better. Again, like I said, how do we look at trials? Do we say, oh, no, not another one? Oh, I wish I could get, I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. Don't bring me anything but problems. Now, I don't know if this man was a believer or not. I didn't see that in the things I was reading, but it's interesting. He's kind of like a James, right? Let's get right to it and let's do something. Let's make something happen. Let's solve this problem. A problem is something that can be solved, and he saw what the problems were. And the trials in our lives, you know, there's something that can come out of it, something good that can come out of it. I want you to turn with me to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, Peter said some very similar things. Twice, really, in 1 Peter. And the book of 1 Peter deals with struggles and trials and tribulation and that kind of thing. But look at chapter 1 of 1 Peter and verse 6. Look for the words joy or rejoice and look for the word trials. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The joy he talks about in the middle of the trials. He said, it's only for a little while that we got to suffer grief through these trials, but there's joy in it. And God will fill us, and we are receiving the goal of our faith, which is salvation. That's what he says in the few verses previous to this. But then jump to chapter 4 of 1 Peter in verse 12 and 13. And he says this, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. You see the trials there? You see the joy? Rejoice in the sufferings of Christ. Peter got... he got the message. He got the picture. Trials and joy, they go together. I'm not sure what an oxymoron is, but when I think of the word trials and joy together, they don't seem to go together to me. But James and Peter are saying, listen, this stuff's all working together. It's all working together for good. And that's what Paul said, right, in Romans chapter 8, 28. Can we put up the Romans passage, Tony? Next one, there you go. Paul said this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know, there's that word again, we know that suffering produces perseverance. As James was saying, trials, they produce perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, this is all very positive. You know, we think of trials as very negative, but God sees it, you know, for what he's accomplishing, what he's doing, what he's producing, how he's bringing character into our lives, how he's bringing hope even out of the midst of all of it. How? Well, that's his business. That's his problem, right? Trials and joy. You're going to walk out of here. You're still going to be shaking your head because you can't see it. But you know what? When we pray about it, when we listen to what God's word has to say, as we go through it, he'll make it clear. A couple more passages will close. Just turn the page back from James to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and then in chapter 12 of Hebrews, and we'll close there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Persevere, he says. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. We sang it already. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with what? Perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the what? The joy set before him endured the cross. Talk about somebody facing trials. But there was joy. Why? Because he knew. Scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And another passage says we grow weary, we lose heart, and we give up. He says, don't give up. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I think James could have written that verse. Listen, you're in trials and stuff, but you know what? How many of you have had to shed blood in the trials you face because your car broke down or because your sink was leaking or your computer wasn't working or you have this physical problem that you have to deal with? How many of us have got to that place? Well, the apostles, they all came to that place where they shed their blood. He says, listen, you haven't gotten to that place yet, and yet we complain and moan and whine and cry and all the rest of it. There's a purpose in it all. God has his purposes for you and for me in the trials and the troubles that we face. You know, Chris sang this song a few weeks back, I Have This Hope. And I was thinking the lyrics, the line it says, he says, as I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Or did I cry these tears in vain? Well, the answer is yes. There's a purpose. God says there's a purpose right there. It ends up in hope. I have this hope. In the depth of my soul, in the flood of the fire, you are with me and you won't let go. I'm not alone. You've gone before me. You won't let go. You know, I think I skipped over the definition of joy. I got to go back to it. But this is the definition. The literal definition is joy, gladness, cheerfulness, and calm delight. Count it all joy. Consider it pure joy. whenever you face trials of many different kinds, because you know, you've learned by experience that God is using it, that God is going to bring about perseverance in your life, and perseverance leads to character, and character leads to hope. And one day, we're not going to have these trials anymore. But not forever. Peter said, only for a little while. Seems like forever. Seems like a long time. But I have to say, I haven't got this happening. But I think we need to pray and say, God, if that's what you want, show me how to consider it joy. Show me how to find joy in the middle of the trials, the troubles, and the suffering, and the things that we face in this life. Because I can promise you this, that they're not going to stop while we're here. So I guess we have to make lemonade, right? We add a little sugar to it. You ever had lemonade without sugar? It's like bad. Maybe the sugar is the joy, right? I just came up with that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's sad. Let's pray together, shall we? Elijah, why don't you come up and play along with us here. Consider it all joy, pure joy. Father, we need your help in that. We just can't do it. It's like our circuits are like, it doesn't compute. But this is your word, and we want to follow your word. We want to do it your way. That's what we said from the beginning. We want to do it your way. We want to follow you. God, help us in this. I pray you would add the sugar into our lives, that joy, as we keep our eyes on you, Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of that faith. That's where the joy is. It's in you, Jesus. That's where James found the joy. It was in his oldest brother, his half-brother, the guy Jesus. If we only could know and focus and put our eyes upon you, Jesus. That's what it's all about, really. Help us today, Lord. Help us through the trials of this life. I pray too, Lord, for any that maybe don't know you, Jesus, and that they would simply say, I need you, Jesus. I want your help to get through this life, and I want eternal life. I do want love. I do want joy. I do want peace. I want these things in my life. So please come in, forgive me of my sin, and cleanse me, wash me. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?